I was approached by Karen back in the back. She said, "Man, you had transfiguration and now ascension." I'm like, "Yes, but I do it to myself." So, I don't know if it's naivete. I'm not exactly sure why I picked the hard ones, if you will. Things that most other pastors like to kind of just slip right by, allow them to just kind of move forward. But I think it has a lot to do with being in the classroom and teaching about world religions and having the opportunity to really engage people on so many different levels. Whenever I get to Christianity, these are the stories we talk about. These are important pieces to the puzzle to what it means to be a Christian. We have to have a belief in the ascension of Jesus going up into heaven if we are to believe in Jesus and being the Christ. So it's really important that we take that in. But to be honest with you, there's another reason why ascension is usually kind of placed on the back burner. People kind of sidetrack it, and then they get to Pentecost, and they're okay, you know. But they kind of move beyond ascension, A, because of the unnaturalness of it, Jesus kind of ascending into heaven, floating into the air, like our balloon up there. But it kind of is contradictory to the whole story of Jesus in the Gospels. That's another reason why we do it, especially the Protestant version of it. Because when we look at ascension, usually when we see Jesus in the gospel, his message and who he is, he's a pretty humble guy. He's somebody who's kind of private. He doesn't boast. He's not very boastful, if you will. He doesn't try to show his divinity a lot. A lot of times he won't even say, you know, "Who do you say that I am?" as opposed to saying, "Yep, that's me. That's me. I'm God right here, present in this world. As Protestants, as Christians, most of us believe that he was a very kind of humble gentleman, somebody who cared for others, who was compassionate, who loved others. Ascension is not like that. The ascension is him saying, "Look at me, I can fly." All right? Instead of the same Jesus who, when was tempted to fall down from the temple so that angels could come and lift him up, said, "No, that would be boastful. That would be trying to prove to people who I am." The ascension is, in essence, saying, "Hey, I'm going to prove to you who I am now. I'm ascending to the Father." And that's why ascension is so hard. Jesus, as a showboat, doesn't quite work, right? So that's why a lot of people steer clear of ascension. I wanted to tackle it. I wanted to tackle it not only because it's an important piece of the story, but it's a story that resonates not just within the Christian realm. If you go into Hinduism and you look at their stories from the Mahabharata, the Bhagavad Gita, the Ramayana, they have the deity, the God, the divine, coming to earth in human form. Comes down, and then ascends back up. Thousands of years ago, these stories existed in Hinduism, in Buddhism, okay? If you ascribe to the Mahayana tradition, okay, they believe in what's called a bodhisattva, okay? The belief that the Buddha nature can be within each one of us, okay? And the Buddha kind of transcends. It comes in and it goes out. It ascends, okay? Comes down and it goes back up. Stories of ascension happen all over. We can even go into the Old Testament, okay, looking at the Jewish scripture. Elijah, maybe not divine, but Elijah was a prophet. And what did Elijah do? He went on up. He arose. He ascended, okay? Stories of ascension happen all over the place. And so I think that it's really important for us to understand that it's an important story. A lot of times we just kind of allow it to fade into the background, but we allow it to kind of bypass it because it doesn't quite make sense with who we are and what we believe, okay? And so when we try to kind of move beyond it, that's what we're trying to do. But I wanted to tackle it today. I wanted to take it head on. So let's read what our Bible, our scriptures have to say about ascension. And this is in the book of Acts. And it really is, if you start looking at this story, it is what connects the Gospels to the disciples, okay? It connects, where are we going from here? Jesus has died, Jesus has risen, and now Jesus is gone again and ascended. But this story of the ascension, moving up to heaven, is the story we're going to read. It's Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning. And a lot of people say that that was the Gospel of Luke that he's referring to, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now, foretelling of Pentecost that is coming. We'll celebrate that next week. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem. You will be in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards the heavens, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Thus ends the reading of God's word. So the ascension. It reminds me of a story one of my colleagues wrote in an article a few years ago. And he was coming out of a meeting. He was up at Stanford University coming out of a meeting. And he happened upon the freshman convocation. All right. And just as the dean of admissions for Stanford University was up there saying, he said, I know all of you. I brought you all here. And you all deserve to be here. And there's a loud roar, everybody erupted, and they were excited to be there. They were at a prestigious university. They had come this far. They had made it to where they felt like they needed to be, which was an institution of higher learning. Very prestigious institution at that. When we accomplish things, when something good or something special has happened, we get excited. We feel good about ourselves when we've accomplished something. We kind of recognize how awesome life is and what God has granted to us and given to us. We must feel that God has blessed us in some way, that God has provided us with something that has meant the world to us. I mean, this has happened to me. I can recall, like it was yesterday, almost 15 years ago today, standing at the end of the aisle and my wife coming down the aisle. Beautiful scene, beautiful moment. I'll never forget it. I was blessed in some way. I had made it. I had accomplished something. Somebody had said that they wanted to spend the rest of their life with me. Okay, that was pretty surprising. At least the way I felt at that time. But God had blessed me somehow. And I've been blessed beyond that and through that. I've had three beautiful children. I've seen each one of them come into existence. Something that was totally wild. I heard them and saw them take their first breath. Or in the case of babies, cry for the first time. Okay, and they don't seem to stop. So they continue breathing, but then the other thing keeps going as well. But it's okay. Miraculous things occur. And we take those things, those miraculous things that happen to us, and we say, wow, God has blessed us. And I look at this story, and I say, wow, you know what? I bet you I know where the disciples, I know what they were thinking, right? Because here they are. They're sitting here, and they're saying, I've been blessed. I've seen this man perform miracles. Miracle after miracle. After miracle, preach sermons that moved so many people over and over and over again. I've also seen this man die on a cross and then resurrect from that cross. And I've seen the hands and his feet and his side, bodily proof that he is resurrected. The disciples are thinking these things to themselves. And now we're witnessing this? Can you believe it? How blessed am I? I'm at this point that it's like I can do nothing but look up. And that's exactly what they do. They continue to look up. Well, let's go back to the story, the article that my friend wrote. The one about the Stanford graduates, or the freshmen, I guess, as they're going in. I use this at the beginning of my critical thinking course. And let me go ahead and give you the title. The title is, this person who heard the academic dean stating, you deserve to be here, he says, I wish I would have heard it differently. I wish I would have heard him say, you don't really deserve to be here. Not yet. Not yet. You've only taken one step. You've only come so far. Yes, you've been blessed. You've been given the entitlement or the ability to come to a university that is wonderful, prestigious. You're going to be able to go from here and be able to do wonderful things. But it's your choice. In critical thinking, we encourage our students to think outside of the box. Okay, what he is trying to say in this article is like, wait a second. You're here. Okay, that's good. But you don't deserve to be here yet. He says, you can't say the word deserve without saying the word serve. And unless you're willing to understand who you are, okay, look within yourself, introspection, find out who you are until you're able to do that, and then be able to serve and give to others, then you deserve to be here. That's where he goes with that. And I continue to think about that. So we talk about that in regards to education, academics, and where we're supposed to go, how we're supposed to understand ourselves, and how we're supposed to move forward. Not just so we can go out and make a lot of money, creating this app that'll tell you every time your hamster updates his Twitter feed or something, you know? Whatever, that's going to make you some money, right? If you could build something like that and everything is great, it can make you money. But that's not the purpose, okay, of academia. But then also look at this story. The disciples, they could feel like they, you know, deserve to be here. And they just continue to look up. Because, you know what? They didn't deserve to be there. Not yet. They didn't understand what was going on. They had no clue what was going on. They thought that Jesus was coming to save them, was going to take oppression away. They believed that Jesus was the one that was going to lift Israel back up and give them those wonderful things that he was always preaching about, the coming kingdom of heaven. But here they see Jesus going up and like, looks the same to me. What's going on? What's happened? So Jesus is gone again. And in their mind, I take it back to the story of the freshmen and what they should do. Look, the angels come in chapter 10 and say to them, why do you look up? Why do you keep looking up? Look forward. God has granted you responsibility of this vision. God has granted you the responsibility of this story and what it means. No. Israel has not been lifted up. We don't know when that's going to happen. Scripture tells us it'll happen later, and the Spirit will infuse itself in Pentecost next week. However, the main objective and the main point here is that they need to look down, and they need to look forward, because it becomes their responsibility. Because now they know the truth. They know the truth of who Jesus is. They just saw him lifted up in a cloud, okay, into heaven. How much more proof do you need, okay? But then they also have an understanding and a truth about who they are. Because they've been given these gifts. They've been given these blessings. They've been given these stories. And now it's their turn to respond. It's their turn to take that story and do something with it. Don't just look up. Don't wait for something miraculous to come from above to change the world. It's your responsibility now to make that change. It's only when they decided to take the newfound responsibility of relaying the message, the story to others, that's when they deserve to be there. That's when they deserved the opportunity they've been given. Not just by being quiet or being silent and saying, wow, that was so cool. You know, that was the awesomest thing I've ever seen. It's their responsibility to move forward. When they discovered that deserving something means serving, that's when it changed. That's when they deserve to be there. I'll tell you what. The world has changed drastically in 2,000 years, but we still have despair. We're still dealing with so many oppressions happening in our world to so many different people, so many different groups. So yes, change has happened over 2,000 years, but it continues today. And we can't keep looking up. We can continue looking up. There's a lot of people who do and say, you know what? Oh, it's going to come again. It's going to happen. And those people are going to be in bad places, right? And we're going to judge you and let them be judged, all right? We can do that. There are a lot of people who do that. But I'll tell you this much right now. We are called to look down, to look forward, and to progress forward. That's what we're called to do. That's what the disciples were called to do. They were given that blessing. They were given eyesight of everything that happened with Jesus. And that's what we are to do. We are to continue that story. We are to go and tell others about that story. Not trying to convert. Not trying to tell them what they have to believe or how they have to believe. But the story's there. These stories are important to who we are and what we believe. Shout them. Tell your friends. The responsibility the disciples had years ago is the same responsibility we have today. Are we going to simply stand and look up and wait for miracles to come from the sky? Are we going to wait for Jesus to come back and correct all the wrongdoings? Or are we going to prove that we deserve to be here by engaging the problems head on and proving our worth? There are those who wait for Jesus, and there are those who simply follow Jesus. Let's be the ones who look ahead, who follow and do. Not the ones who look up expecting another miracle from heaven. Jesus wants us to know that we are that miracle. That we are the ones that have that responsibility to move us forward. Amen.